the most part, we are supposed to be a threat to hell. Instead of always being on defense. You know, Patton said, General Patton said, there's no defensible position. You get beat eventually. Go on the attack. And everybody's, yeah, it's his guts and our blood. Yeah, well, you know, he had the least amount of casualties with that philosophy. Then go become part of another division that doesn't fight that way.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Please join us as we study the Gospel of Luke, verse by verse. Pastor Rick reminds us today that all of us are actively or passively involved in a spiritual battle, whether we recognize it on a day-to-day basis or not. So many Christians play defense with the enemy of our souls. This should not be. Through the cross, we've been given complete and total victory. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Now here's Pastor Rick beginning in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 21.
We are still in Bethlehem. We will take a short trip to Jerusalem, back to Bethlehem, and what is left out of Luke's account is the events that led up to the trek to Egypt, and Luke then picks it back up with their return to Nazareth. So we'll see if we can follow this. Very, very helpful if you're able to apply the lessons from Scripture to your life. When you're on the run, you know that Christ Jesus and his family were on the run also. But when the smoke cleared, they're the ones that remain standing. And so verse 21, and when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, of course, the parents are following the Old Testament commandment to bring the child to be circumcised on the 8th day. And so upon giving birth to a son, Mary would be contagiously unclean for 7 days. After that, she was able to mingle again with people and not ceremonially contaminate them where they would not be able to go to the temple. She could not go to the temple after giving birth for 40 days for a male child, 80 days for a daughter. On the 8th day, at the end of 7 days, the child is circumcised. 33 days later, she and Joseph will take the child to the temple in Jerusalem and there have him offered up because he is the firstborn male of the family. One of the lessons out of all of this is that gender distinction is clearly stated and maintained throughout Scripture. God does not create the male and female and then change his mind and say, well, that was, you know, just not ideal, that here's something better. And I don't want to waste any time commenting on the perversity that is being launched by hell against us with this nonsense that's going on with people confused about, you know, it's enough to be confused about whether you want a chocolate ice cream or vanilla ice cream, and to add all these other things is just unnecessary. Anyway, his name was called Jesus. Now, in Scripture, 4 boys were named by heaven before they were born. Ishmael, Isaac, John the Baptist, and of course, Jesus Christ. And the name Jesus is the Greek version of the Hebrew name Yahshua, or Joshua as we would pronounce it. Jehovah saves, or Jehovah will save, is the meaning of the name, weaving together the name Jehovah and salvation together, and that's what the name Jesus means. Of course, this circumcision being connected with the naming of the child, going back to Abraham, when God had Abraham circumcised, he and his entire household of males, and changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And so the Jews continued that connection, and it symbolized the cutting off of the flesh as a useless means of producing a sinless life. It's a sermon. There's a teaching in this. And so on the natural level, Jesus is identifying with the Jewish people as a member of the Jewish nation, but also with the Abrahamic covenant, the agreement between Abraham and God, which is developed throughout the Old Testament. And Jeremiah comes along and says, God's going to give you a new testament, a new covenant. And we are living that. It is the New Testament. And this is why Paul says we are ministers of the new covenant. And too often Christians get confused with this. They're still living in the Old Testament with Jesus' name, and they become legalistic. They become self-righteous. They become, you know, guilt-ridden. And to get some of the guilt off themselves, they put it onto others. And this strangles the church. But when you are free in Christ, oh man, the ministry that then opens up to preach Christ. You know, David said again, the righteous are as bold as a lion. Why? Because they're free. They're free to approach the throne of God. Their debt has been paid. They get it. They understand it. They're not trying to walk around in the Old Testament. They're living in the strength of Calvary. Their week does not end on the Sabbath. It begins on Sunday, the day that Christ rose again. And that's how we approach our lives. And so boldness, you may have seasons when you're not so bold, but, you know, they should just be short seasons. For the most part, we are supposed to be a threat to hell instead of always being on defense. You know, General Patton said, there's no defensible position. You get beat eventually. Go on the attack. And everybody's, yeah, it's his guts and our blood. Yeah, well, you know, he had the least amount of casualties with that philosophy. Then go become part of another division that doesn't fight that way. To really understand the wisdom of that philosophy in carnal war, in spiritual war, it's the same thing. Because the Christian understands that his shield can be used as a weapon. Who here would volunteer to be clunked in the head with a shield after service? Nobody, because you understand it's going to hurt. And so we have to not walk around all the time on defense. You can't defend that position. There must be some aggression that belongs to our faith. And you're going to make enemies. So they're going to be the right enemies. You're also going to get victories, which you would never get without understanding this position. Jesus took it to Satan, went out into the wilderness, and there did battle, and won. He took it to the cross, and there did battle, and won. And after the resurrection, he told us, do the same thing. And we may feel like we're losing, but when we get to heaven and we see all the faces there impacted through Christian ministry, we'll understand we won. Verse 22, now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses, which is found in Leviticus 12, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written, verse 23, in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Well, they traveled to the temple in Jerusalem to dedicate the child. Again, he's now 40 days old. 40 days he's been incarnate. He's eternal, of course, as far as his essence go. They were still staying in Bethlehem. We'll get back to that as we move through this. All of these, this chapter is centered in Bethlehem. Now, originally, the firstborn son was the priest of the household after his father's death. Then God chose the Levites to serve in the sanctuary, in the place of the firstborn. That tribe belonged to him, the household of priests. But we are a royal priesthood. We have exceeded both. And individually, we are to minister on behalf of the lost. And this does not upset the pastoral office, which as a Christian, not as a pastor, but as a Christian man, I have total disdain for those who do not appreciate what God has given the church. God has given to the church the pastorate. And there are so many Christians that just think that this is a whooping post for them. And it's sort of cutting off your nose to spite your face. This is a gift from God. Now, that does not guarantee that the pastors are going to do the right thing all across the board. There are many pastors who do the wrong things. There are many imposters in pulpits. But there are also many great men of God. And as I often say, to remove the pastorate, you do not have to look far to find what the fallout of that is. Go into any community where there is no pulpit manned by a man of God, and you will see. Go to any country where the pulpit is not free to be turned loose on a congregation. Look at the communist, the Soviet Union. What was that like as a Christian? And so when you find yourself bad-mouthing the office of the pastorate, you're bad-mouthing Jesus Christ directly. And you find yourself bad-mouthing the church of Christ, you're bad-mouthing him. That's why when he confronted Paul, he said, "Why are you persecuting me? I died for this church." And so this is startling how many Christians do this and think, you know, they're quite smug about it. And we'll cover some of this as we move forward, possibly. Not that I've planned to, but, well, anyway. Verse 24, to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Knowing the greatness of this child, knowing the righteousness of Joseph and Mary, they would never have used a lesser sacrifice unless they could not afford it. They were to take a lamb to offer that for their firstborn. But the law of the Lord had within it a provision for the poor. So if they could not afford a lamb, they could use turtle doves or young pigeons. And they were plentiful. They could be gotten anywhere. You could catch them yourselves, make a net, throw it, make a trap, get them on your own. And so this indicates that the wise men had not yet made it to Bethlehem where Jesus was, because of course they are going to bring not only gold, but the frankincense and myrrh. They could sell that and make money for it, and they would have been able to afford it. So just a little interesting thing there. Verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. They loved this man, Simeon. It was the Holy Spirit that brings him to the temple. And it tells us that he is a man who was just and devout. And it is this man who comes to hold the child, this just man, this devout man. Now, his being just speaks of his relations and his interactions with other human beings, with other sinners. But his being devout speaks of his relationship with the Holy One, the sinless one, God. What kills devotion in the life of a believer? Excuses. That's what does it. They've got to blame somebody else or something else. Instead of being devoted, they blame. Now, we don't have a lot of that here that I'm aware of. From time to time, it surfaces. But I also understand that many of these messages on Sunday mornings will be eventually broadcast on the radio. And I know there's no shortage of ears out there who need to hear these things. It's odd to me how many unjust and uncommitted Christians in church pretend to be devout and insist upon having a say-so. I don't know what they're talking about. Know nothing of ministry because they never do it. They're never involved. They don't know what's involved with keeping an assembly on the right track, leading them to green pastures as best you can. They have no clue. That does not stop them. And they quickly become tools of the devil. Unfortunately for men in my position, we have to often be patient. Now, I have learned that what kills patience is a lack of confidence. Like this, for example. Why be patient when it's not going to work? Why do I have to wait for this to develop, to come about, when it's just going to be a waste of time? And the flesh, of course, sneaks in there, takes over the controls, and we become impatient. The problem is in ministry is the Lord then says, come here. And it's not that tone where you want to boldly go. It's that tone where you want to, you know, assign it to one of the other pastors. The Lord wants one of us to go over there, and I think it's you. But anyhow, you must serve to be strong. This is not a rebuke. This is a fact. It belongs to our faith. Jesus, as we move through the Gospel of Luke, he's going to be slamming those. Let the dead bury the dead. The church is given for this. And those of you who are afraid to serve, why? Trust God. Stop making excuses. You want to know what devotion is about? You want to be a Simeon? You want to be a Zacharias? You want to be one of those high people that Jesus Christ was surrounded by before he entered the world and once he came into the world? Elizabeth and Mary and Anna. As I mentioned, Simeon and Zacharias. Do you notice the people surrounding these events? John the Baptist. I want to be in that group. Well, it's not magic. We don't believe in magic. It takes work and commitment and determination. You say, well, I've tried and I failed. Well, do you want to succeed at failing? Then continue giving up. There are things that I've tried as a pastor that hasn't worked, and it hurts. It hurts to fail in front of people. So what I do is I let that thing sit until God tells me to get it up. I don't like it either, but I understand. I've learned and am learning that misery produces ministry. The very thing that I'm always looking to escape from. Now, I don't go looking for it, but when it comes, I must understand, trust in the Lord, because God is good always, without exception. And if he has allowed some detestable thing in my life, it's for him to know and for me to find out why. Well, if you claim to believe the things you claim, you have no problem with that. But if you are a make-believer, a fake believer, you're going to have great problems with that. Your flesh will not agree to any of what I'm saying. This Simeon, he was just and devout, not because by natural birth, he was a Jew, and then it was automatic. Christians do the same thing. I've accepted Jesus Christ. I love to sing songs to Jesus Christ. I must be devout. It's not true. It's not true at all. Those things could never bring a soul into a right relationship with God. Work brings us into a right relationship with God. It is because this man connected what God said in Scripture to his own lifestyle. That's having a responsive heart, a heart that can be moved. Men whose hearts had been touched by God and therefore moved by God. That's what it is. I mean, I like to sing songs too. I couldn't wait to get to How Great Thou Art this morning. And once doing it, I was done. I'm good. That's because it's just a song I happen to like, and I'm sorry I've taken you down that path with me. But be that as it may, we understand as Christians that singing is a big part of our faith, but it's not enough. If that's all you've got to demonstrate your devotion, you need to up your game a whole lot. You're not a little bit down, you're way down. I have honored my word above my name. Doesn't even talk about songs in that verse. What does that mean? That's pretty powerful stuff. It is the role of the pastor to preach the word, because in this word there are those in an assembly, every assembly, that are just bumps on the log when it comes to the faith. And they're good there. And then a man like me irritates them. I'm not trying to irritate you. I'm not disappointed with the whole idea of it, but anyway, I'm trying to stir you, lest God does. And he may do it this way. He might just say, fine, and walk away. And when you die, you'll stand before him, saved, but with no rewards. And so, you who are here this morning, who always have an excuse for not serving. Oh, when you serve, you're a minimalist. You do as little as you can. Oh, I'm not coming under the authority of any man. Stupid. I mean, what is that? Some people actually think that way in the church. Like they're going to, you know, turn their car over to the person if they come and serve and somebody's over them in ministry. So what? And so again, I know these messages will be broadcast and people who need to hear this may receive it as a word from God and become gallant in the fight. It's interesting how folks can push people in other professions to do this. You know, they talk about the lazy guy at work or the guy in the military who won't pull his weight or whatever, the person in the university who's getting, the teacher's pet and doesn't deserve it, whatever it is. And yet they come into the house of God and they seem to do all those things at the same time because they lack devotion. But don't you tell them. And if I tell them, they're gone. They're off and find another church. And so this man, this devout and just man, waiting for the consolation of Israel. That was a common phrase for Messiah. He was going to come and bring comfort. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says the Lord. Isaiah 40, verse 1. And then again in Isaiah 9, for unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so this influence of Isaiah had reached Simeon. He knew the word. He knew the prophecies of Isaiah. But as great as that is, he went one step further, as we all are to do. He connected the scripture to the moment. A lot of Christians don't do that. I'm not here to beat the sheep, but I am here to point out things that Satan is beating the sheep with, making them feel okay about things that Christ is not okay with. To take the scripture and let it to get into your life, to begin to apply these things. Simeon connected Isaiah 53 also with this child. He understood this is who we've been waiting for. This is the one. It says, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, verse 25. How many think, again, because they sing Christian songs and enjoy them so much, that somehow that means that alone determines the degree that they're filled with the Spirit? If this is you, again, if you think that just simply singing Christian songs and being emotionally moved is sufficient, you are being ripped off. Are you suffering anywhere for Christ? Is there anything you're doing for Jesus Christ in the house of God that is costing you something? Maybe it's aggravation. Maybe it's energy. Or maybe you're a henpecked husband and you can't serve because your wife won't let you. Or maybe you're the henpecking wife. Or maybe you're a henpecking husband that's jealous of your wife because she's doing something in the church and you're not. All these things happen in Christianity. Now, for those of you who are saying, who are doing these things, not the good things, who are serving and this is not you, you got to understand to take the meat and spit out the bones. But we all need to know this sometimes. And let me tell you, when you come across revelations that God has given to you, they're not cheap. They cost something. And I'm not talking about him only. They cost you. There's a saying in Christianity, do you expect Jesus to do all the dying? When he says, take up your cross and follow him? You think you're taking up your cross so he can die on it again? It's for us. All right. To not confuse emotional Christianity, the lack of righteousness, the lack of devotion, the lack of servanthood, to understand the difference between lack and depth. Lack and depth. Simeon went deep. This is an old man, it appears. It doesn't say so, but it is implied by his speech. And yet he is devoted. But I want to encourage any of you. You have two things to do. If you're confronted with something which you're guilty before the Lord. You can have a bitter root take root.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Cross Reference Radio, the teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel in Mechanicsville, Virginia. As you likely gathered, we're currently studying through the Gospel of Luke here on Cross Reference Radio. To learn more about Cross Reference Radio, visit our website at crossreferenceradio.com. You can download today's teaching or subscribe to the Cross Reference Radio podcast. Subscribing is easy. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes. We encourage you to place a marker in your Bibles and join us same time, same place for the next edition of Cross Reference Radio.